It's not much of a secret that I have a home field apparel problem. Even before we started this show, I couldn't even step foot on a new college campus without making sure there was something from that school's home field collection waiting on my porch when I got home. So we are, understandably, over the moon to partner with home field this season to keep Pitt fans comfy, cozy, and stylish at a fraction of the price by using promo code LOYALSUNS for 15% off your next order. This discount applies site-wide and with unique vintage collections for every school from Pitt to Bama, Jackson State to Colgate, Michigan, Marshall, Marquette, and both Miamis. There's something for every fan. So whether you're buying for a Pitt fan or for a loser freak, use promo code LOYALSUNS at homefieldapparel.com to save big on your next order. Each code applies once per email address, so get those work emails and burners ready. That's homefieldapparel.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Loyal Sun Show. That's at the Loyal Suns on all the social medias. Follow us there and follow us wherever you get your podcasts for Pitt sports content you won't want to miss. If you love the ACC, proving it is the premier basketball conference in March, and hate constant updates on the transfer portal, but also kind of love them, this is the place for you, the Loyal Sun Show. A safe, sunshiny place for your Pitt Athletics fix. Fellas, it's April 1st. We're going to avoid any obligatory April Fool's jokes because I think social media has just gotten insufferable. Like, you're better off just keeping the phone on DND on April 1st every year. Can't scroll anything without... And everything I read, I just get slightly like, oh, wait... Oh, shit. I just remember what day it was. I've gotten got like five times today.
So you're telling me South Florida and FIU are not playing on an aircraft carrier? Like football on an aircraft carrier?
Who was that, you Squid, who got by that?
Yeah. I was like, that's going to be pretty windy, won't it? I thought back to the day where Pitt played Gonzaga on an aircraft carrier in basketball and James Robinson broke his face because the court was just wet everywhere at all times.
They didn't finish the game, right?
No.
All-time half-baked idea.
When was that?
Like 2013, 12. They wore these like weird camo-y kind of uniforms.
Huh. Yeah, I don't.
Could have been a big non-conference win for the Panthers, but cut short. I remember there was a huge delay because every like 5 minutes they'd be like, yeah, there's a huge wet spot here, and they'd start mopping it down. Then at one point, like every player, coach, staff member, referee just had towels and were walking around on them trying to dry it off, but they quickly realized, yeah, we're in the ocean.
All right, well, they're not playing that football game, and I'm assuming no basketball games scheduled for the near future. So we'll spare you of any more April Fool's jokes today. We've got some serious business. No joking around. Pitt basketball, obviously, the last time we talked, we were discussing our pains with being left out of the tournament, and I've seen a whole lot of discourse around the ACC and about how maybe Pitt was snubbed. Do we want to go into that at all, or do we want to spare the listeners of that whole that facade as well?
I mean, scroll our Twitter for like 5 minutes if you want all of our opinions on that.
Yeah, those are mostly me. I was pretty salty every time I hit send. Yeah, I'd hit send and be like, okay, that's the last time I'm doing that. The ACC is great. Everyone knows it. I don't want to be annoying about this. But then, like, the next morning, I'd wake up and see that, like, Seth Davis or John Rothstein have doubled down covering their tracks. Like, no, no, no. It's just a tournament. It doesn't mean everything. You can't change the whole narrative. It was stupid. I'd found out this year that so many people in, who are big names in college basketball are just stupid. And rant. We're smart. We knew the ACC was good all along. And rant for real.
All right. So we'll leave that there.
Yeah. We've pulverized that horse into glue.
Yeah.
Correctly. Right. I mean, when your season ends the way that it did, you're allowed to be pissed that you're missing out on the thing that is very fun and ongoing.
Pitt 2-0 against this year's Final Four teams. That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
Undefeated. But serious business lies ahead. This offseason, likely one of, if not the most important thus far of the Jeff Capel era. I guess others you could argue were just as important for other reasons, like he was fighting for his job. Needed to bring in halfway decent players to field a competitive basketball team. Early Capel era years had that issue. But this offseason is important for a different reason. And that's because there is, for the first time in a while, some very serious expectations around the Pitt basketball program. I think we were all hopefully optimistic about this past season that the freshman guards would be playable and that they may be able to get to the point where they're competitive in the ACC and have themselves on the bubble. And that is what they were able to do, unfortunately getting left out of the tournament in the end. But with the core of players set to come back, with some of the resources, with NIL and the transfer portal, there is some legitimate expectation that Pitt basketball Panthers could go into next season not only as a team that could make the tournament, but a team that could potentially be a preseason top 25 team and a team that could win the ACC next year.
I like letting those words marinate. That feels good. That was chicken soup for my tortured soul.
Now, obviously, there's a lot of ifs to go into this offseason. But let's talk about some of the things that are concrete first. The guys that are leaving the program, everyone knows that Blake Henson has played his final collegiate basketball game. It hurts. It hasn't gotten any easier anytime I say it. It feels like he was not given a proper send-off. We didn't even get a final Blake Henson press conference or media availability that we knew of after the North Carolina game. Happened to be his final media availability, but we didn't even get one press conference to hear Blake make us laugh one more time, maybe make us cry with how emotional.
Say goodbye, you know.
Say goodbye. But that's it. Blake Henson's career as a Pitt Panther is over. He will forever be remembered as one of the most likable Pitt athletes of our lifetimes. And we wish him the best of luck in the NBA. But with that, there's about 19 points per game that needs to be replaced, over 103 pointers that we would like to somehow make up for on next year's team. And also a leader and a guy who's kind of changed the culture around the program. Not an easy guy to replace. I talked about the expectations, but we are losing a guy who basically was the heart and soul of this program.
That it?
Any other last comments we want to give to Blake? Anything else we need to replace of his? I mean, outside of like the funniest guy on the team role, celebrity putter at the golf outing.
The most recognizable non-Kenny Pickett Pitt athlete since, honestly, fill in the blank.
It's a good one.
I thought you were going to say, honestly, Phil Dracovic. Not fill in the blank. Not today. I'm just going to miss the deep threes. Nobody else does that in college basketball. who knows the next time we'll get a guy that just does that regularly. So yes, a lot of the things you listed off were amazing, a little bit more directly impacted the games that were played, but just how cool it was to have a guy that could just pull the trigger from anywhere will be sad.
Are we about to give Fetty and Will Jeffers the same send off as Blake? Are we about to give?
I was just about to say, whenever Dylan was leading off Blake's accolade stats, I'm like, well, we're going to lose a lot there. And you add on Will Jeffers' threes, that number doesn't get much higher. And yeah, there's a huge gap in the guys that we're losing. And I guess that's a good thing. We're only losing one guy who was good.
We should say some, I feel compelled to say some nice things about our outgoing transfers before we start to talk about how they aren't that big of losses.
Let's do it. Proceed.
I'd at least like to say for Fetty, I mean, he stepped up into a very difficult position 2 years ago, or last year rather. John Hughley was a very, very late opt-out. There was no expectation for him to even be a contributor last year, sitting behind the best player in the program, or so we thought. And then he came out, and listen, his numbers are never going to be impressive to anybody, but he played some decent defense. He showed up when he was needed. And even though I think you could argue that center position, that five position, was our biggest weak spot this year, you got to give it to a guy who stepped in the circumstances he did and was serviceable at times.
I think he regressed this year. I think if you look back to,
right,
you know, last year's team, like you said, there wasn't much expectations for Fetty. I think a lot of people thought he was just going to be a practice body for Pitt. Yeah. We had a run where we got a lot of these big guys who really just ended up being practice bodies. And then a month into the season, he's basically forcing John Hughley onto the bench and eventually into the transfer portal. Fetty was a big piece of last year's tournament team. Obviously, he was hurt and didn't get to play in the tournament, but went toe-to-toe with some of the ACC's bigs, sometimes overpowered, but at times very serviceable. Did a good job on Baycott a couple of times. Turned into a bit of a lob threat. And then I don't know what happened last offseason, but that step that I think some people thought, you know, if we can get Fetty to take another step, he's a guy who's a real impact player, a top half of the ACC center. And then that next step never happened. So I wish him luck at his next destination. I don't know if he'll take a step down to maybe a mid-major level, maybe something like the A-10, or if a major conference team will maybe pony up and pay him some money. But would have liked to see him take another step and then hopefully have that optimism about him next year. But as it stands right now, they're looking to replace him at that five spot. And, you know, maybe it's just another situation where both sides need a fresh start. He needs a change of scenery and maybe he can figure it out. But yeah, I don't really know what happened this year. It was pretty rough at times.
Do you guys remember your reaction whenever we found out Fetty was out for the Mississippi State play-in game? We were like, shit.
It was like,
who's going to guard their best player? Who's going to guard Tolu Smith? And we thought that was like a death sentence almost because of how good Fetty was at defense. This year was weird. I was holding out hope a lot longer than most. I think that he could flip a switch and get back to freshman year Fetty. So I guess we kind of saw the transfer coming. I'd be okay if he stuck around and was just like our backup. I think he provides some things that are really useful, namely just being a 6'11", pretty good shot blocker and guy who can roll to the hoop. But my hope is we'll get a guy much better than him in the portal.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful that Cable can pull that off, but as we've seen in our past experiences and across the country, the transfer portal for big men is kind of just a crapshoot. You don't know how well these guys are going to adjust to playing bigger guys, or if these highly recruited guys that didn't get a shot are even any good and they're just getting another shot because of their recruiting rankings. We'll see. We'll talk about some of the potential guys later, but the expectations for a new big man are high.
You're right. It would have been awesome to have a lengthy 7-footer.
We also don't have that many roster spots.
Yeah, that's the other thing about basketball. And I mean, this specific Pitt team, you'd love
years
to have
past, a they could afford to have like a bench full of like, yeah, maybe they'll be all right. But now we're at the point where we need to have like 9-10 guys that can go out there and contribute like right now.
Yeah. You simply have to upgrade from your 7-footer who played 30 minutes a game and only averaged 5 points and 5 boards. Which, I mean, those are some eyebrow raising numbers. If we're going to be honest,
that's enough Fetty talk.
Wish him the best. Hope he ends up somewhere cool.
Maybe we'll just go to Duquesne. That way he can keep going to TC.
I will look forward to seeing the fan base's reaction wherever he ends up to his name. They'll be like, what the heck? His name is Federico.
Will and Jeffress?
Then... sure.
Will Jeffress, salute, tip my cap. Very odd career, I would say. Very odd result. Let me give him the... All right, Wake Forest game this year, Pitt probably doesn't win without Will Jeffress. There are scholarships being used on this last year's team that you can absolutely say did not contribute to any wins last season. So Will Jeffress got us a win, pretty big win against Wake Forest in a pivotal time of the season. I mean, Efton Reed was absolutely eating Fetty's lunch. So if Will Jeffress doesn't check into that game and completely change the game defensively, they don't win. So thank you there for your on-court contributions. Will Jeffress was at one point like a serious blue chip. Like he ended up at Pitt when he reclassed, getting to campus. I think he was 16 when he stepped on campus, 17 once the season started. Youngest player in Division I. But at one point in time, like early in his high school career, was like a borderline 5-star prospect. And then for whatever reason, he got to Pitt. And honestly, I thought showed flashes early. Also, remembering the fact that he was a 17-year-old playing Division I college basketball, flashes of a guy who, like, okay, 3 years from now, he can be really good. He got to Pitt during the COVID year, or that was his first season, was the COVID year. He's on campus with guys like Xavier Johnson and Trey McGowans, who... I can't imagine we're the best teammates to learn under as a 17-year-old. Also, John Hughley stole a car like within the first month they were here as freshmen. Just a very weird start to his career, and then seemingly never got any better, at least from the offensive end of the court. 2 years here, then third year, misses the whole season due to injury, and then obviously this past season. A plug-and-play guy in certain games, gave them some very important minutes here and there. But by all accounts, great kid, great teammate, great student. I'm very interested to see where he ends up, if it's like an Ivy League or something. Pretty sure the consensus is that he wants to go into the medical field. He's probably going to be a doctor. He's a Pitt grad. Hats off to him. But from a basketball standpoint, I'm happy to have that scholarship back for Cable.
Yeah, dunk this year was pretty cool against Wake Forest.
One of the best moments of the season.
All I really have left to say about that is I'm just glad Pitt's in the position as a program where, you know, we aren't begging guys to stay, where we're freeing up scholarships that we need.
10-4.
Like we're in a position where we can kind of tell guys like, hey, you were a joy. But we're going to need that Scully, so.
Hey, maybe he goes Nate Santos route, goes to the A-10 and is just an all A-10 player. I wouldn't count on it, but I also wouldn't have counted on Nate Santos shooting like 40% from three this year, so.
Yeah, that one just doesn't even make sense, but.
Sure. Thanks, Will. Thanks, Fetty. Thank you so much, Blake. But now to talk about the guys who should be here, will be here, or we really, really hope will be here. And I think the biggest question of the offseason, the most important question and the most important answer of the offseason ultimately, where will Bub Carrington be playing basketball next year? Will it be in Oakland, or will it be in various cities, in various arenas in the NBA across the country next year? I know Jeff Capel has said that they believe it's either Pitt or the NBA for Bub. It's not going to be a transfer portal thing. I wholeheartedly believe that. I think Bub's dad's relationship with Coach Capel is well documented. I think Bub loves playing with Jalen Lowe and the rest of his teammates within the Pitt program. And I understand that dollar signs can be attractive and can really change things. But at the end of the day, I don't know that you're going to find a better basketball situation for Bub than Pitt if he decides to stay in college next year. So basically what this comes down to is when Bub goes through this pre-draft process, do these teams tell him, hey, you need another year, or hey, we're going to take you with the 10th overall pick?
Yeah, I don't want to see people comparing this to a Jordan Addison thing where someone just writes a check too big for Pitt to match. Jordan Addison saw that Keaton Slovis is his quarterback and Frank Signetti was his offensive coordinator and thought, this is going to affect me on the field and in the long run, my draft position. I don't know if Bub Carrington can find a better place to play than Pitt next year. It's going to be his team with a great supporting cast. On top of everything else that Dylan mentioned, same with Jalen Lowe. I don't know who else people think might transfer at this point. I know some guys have already transferred once, but the transfer rules are weird. Anyone can kind of transfer, but it just wouldn't make sense for anyone else to really leave that hasn't already said so. So out in front, those guys, very, very likely not transferring. NBA for Bub, that's the question. There's been a lot of early mock drafts that have him in there, but not like near the lottery. And I think the lottery is like where you want to be for a guy his age. If not, have a big year and come back next year. The scary thing is apparently this year's NBA draft is like the worst of all time.
Like everybody's a wild card. There's no weak draft, which is, I think, the biggest question right now is like, I think in normal years, it would maybe be like, yeah, just come back next year. You'll have a better shot. But I think with how weak this draft class is, like an NBA team might just convince themselves like, yeah, we'll take that 6'5 kid who was very productive and he's 18 years old. Like we'll just take him.
Yeah, he'll probably test the waters. I don't know if we'll do any workouts. I don't know how all of that works once you put your name in the NBA draft ring, but it could happen. Maybe a team, like you said, falls in love and says, we have the 16th pick and you won't make it past there, and that's enough for him. But I think the consensus, in my expert opinion, emphasis on expert opinion, will be Bub realizes that one more year could take him from second round, maybe late first round, to that lottery spot. And that's where you want to be. So we'll find out. Don't be scared when you see the name Bub Carrington like enters his name in the draft process or however they say it these days, because it's probably going to happen. Just a matter of wearing the Pitt basketball uniform next year.
So taking off your Pitt goggles, which I think is kind of impossible for us. Like we'd have to fully Like, that's a full eyeball removal. Do you think he would benefit from coming back to Pitt for a year? Or do you think that there's such a dearth of quality in this draft that this is his big opportunity to get an insane payday and end up in a great situation?
I think a big difference, too, people compare it to the Steven Adams saga at Pitt. Wasn't that impressive in his time at Pitt. Definitely not statistically, but he had... he was in that range, and he was a big man too. So I think big men are viewed a little bit differently. Like, you can only get so much better as a big man in college going up against like some 6'9", like mid-major big man. With Bub's game, while very impressive, there are a lot of things you can directly point to and be like, yes, you can improve on this. Yes, you can improve on that. So if he comes back next year, increases the three-point percentage, maybe a little bit better decision-maker with the ball. If he can do that, he checks all the boxes. He has everything else. So you can go from a pretty good, like, wild card draft pick to a, you know, this guy has what it takes to be, like, an NBA all-star.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but with Steven Adams, wasn't there the added context of he needed to help support his, like, 30 brothers and sisters or something like that?
I don't think Bub Carrington has 30 brothers and sisters living in New Zealand who are all 7 feet tall.
I also think Steven Adams just hated Pitt, which I do not think is currently the case with Bub. I think he enjoyed his first year in Oakland very much so. I also think, you know, going back to what you asked, David, about, you know, take off our Pitt goggles here. Is there something to be gained by him coming back? I think, like anything, it's a risk-reward, but I absolutely think if Bub comes back next year and can shoot the three at a high clip, you know, he only shot around 32% this year for the season, but really started to come into his own shooting the ball down the stretch. I think if he can show teams and put on tape that he can hit the three at a high clip and maybe show a little more aggressiveness getting to the rim, I mean, for the first half of the season, I think it took about two-thirds of the season for us to say, like, wow, Bub just got to the hoop and finished at the rim, like in the half court. Like, it took all year to see him actually get to the rim, and he started to do it pretty effectively down the stretch. So,
yeah,
I think he's still very young. He won't turn 19 until July, so he can come back next year and be – I know everyone wants to talk about, you know, coming back to college, that means you weren't good enough to go pro, but he will actually be, like, the normal age of a freshman – most freshman prospects next year. So he could come back, and I think if he's productive on a Pitt team that can be really good, he could have the type of elevation from freshman to sophomore year like Ja Morant did. I mean, Ja Morant comes back for his senior year, just absolutely tears it up at Murray State, has a triple-double in the tournament. Everyone's like, who is this kid? It was the same year as Zion. If it was just about any other draft year, Ja Morant probably goes number one. I'm not saying that Bub Carrington is Ja Morant, but I do think if he comes back next year and he's already now on NBA radars. So if he comes back next year and tears it up, I think there's a real chance for him to put his name in that conversation, you know, be a top 10 type of pick. But there's the added caveat that if he comes back next year, doesn't shoot it well again and kind of has the same issues with getting to the hoop and some of those things, you know, maybe that takes you out of draft positioning. So it's risk reward, but I would love nothing more than to see Bub Carrington have a Ja Morant-esque elevation up draft boards. And we're in conversations come March saying, you know, is he going to be a top five pick?
So give us a percentage chance that Bub Carrington plays for Pitt next year.
This is going to sound so lame, but I literally think like 50-50 right now.
I'm going to go 60-40 in favor of the NBA.
I'm going 60-40 in favor of Pitt.
Well, aren't we the most boring losers on the planet?
Yeah, we would never cut it on First Take.
We say some absurd shit.
Yeah.
It's not about this. We're being very reasonable about this one.
Just wait for the spring game preview. That's when we'll empty the chamber of hot takes.
Do we have to go to that?
We'll talk off air.
When even is that?
13th.
How bad is it that the literal Loyal Sons are taking this event that we usually like plan our April around and are like, oh God, I have to go watch Eli Holstein throw a football.
The spring game was unbearably bad last year. It was hot and I was hungover and the game was exceptionally boring, even for a spring game. But we're not going to talk anymore. Because Pitt basketball. Okay. We talked a lot about Bub. We talked a little bit about Jalen Lowe. Jalen and Ish Leggett. Those are the other two guys that I think everyone just thought those are the other guys that people might want and might want to try to lure into the portal. I felt pretty good about Pitt's chances of keeping both those guys since, I mean, at all times. My faith never wavered there. But I'm willing to go out like at this point and be like, those two will be here next year. There is a almost 0% chance that either of those two won't be wearing a Pitt uniform.
I hate that you, the mushiest among us, are making such promises.
I just feel really good about that. Jalen Lowe, kind of similar situation to Bob, like the relationship with his dad. I think,
yeah.
Once again, I think everyone at Pitt knows how good Jalen Lowe is. They've seen him for a year. If Bob comes back, he gets to play next to a potential lottery pick. If Bob doesn't come back, it's literally Jalen Lowe's show to run. And I don't know how many other teams can really offer him that at this point. And then Ish, I mean, I think he embraced his role as a sixth man. It did wonders for him. I mean, he went off in the ACC tournament first round against Wake Forest. I don't know what type of market there would be. I'm sure someone would like to pay Ish some money, but I think Pitt is positioned well enough in that department to not really have to fend off too much. And I wholeheartedly believe both those guys will be back.
Yeah. I mean, you have to remember last year, I mean, take the results out of it. Ish was a pretty big recruit in the portal and Pitt obviously offered enough to get him to come here. Same with Zach Austin. He was a not as hot commodity, but he was pretty well recruited out of the portal and we got him to come here. So obviously Pitt has enough funds in the chamber to do what we need to do.
I think Pitt fans still have this belief because we weren't like throwing recruits bags in the pre-NIL era that Pitt just doesn't have any money. And I just don't think that's true.
We have basketball money. We just don't have football money.
Yeah, I think Alliance 412, I mean, I think that's pretty well known that these last 2 years, the last two basketball teams have been very competitively funded in the NIL space. I mean, Blake Henson got a check.
And now Blake Henson is off of our checkbook. So Blake Henson money can go other places.
Yeah. So I think the concern, I get it from Pitt fans that we want to use that as a cop out to our constant pessimism that everyone's just going to buy all of our best players. But I think Pitt's in a good spot there to be competitive, both in the NIL space and in just what we're able to offer these guys. But looking at the rest of the roster, we've got the Diaz-Graham twins. I don't imagine they're going anywhere. They're always an interesting piece because you have to assume they're going to be a package deal. And at this point in time, I am not entirely sure what Jorge's future with this program is. He had a pretty tough season. I know he was dealing with the injury in the summer, and that kind of got re-aggravated and ended his season this year. I'm not ready to write Jorge off, but we've seen enough of the same struggles through his first two seasons. And this is kind of the thing that sucks about like the current state of college basketball is usually like your third year, for the longest time, your third year, that's, it's like, okay, this is when he's really going to start playing major minutes. But now if a guy doesn't contribute right away, you kind of write him off as, right. Oh, he has to transfer to a lower level. But then you have Guillermo, who I thought, you know, you have a five man, a 7-footer who shot 40% from three this year and figures to be a big part of the equation at those 4 and 5 spots next season. So it's like, is there a desire for them to go separate ways? Or if Jorge says, brother, I need a change of scenery, are you willing to come with me? I haven't heard anything that leads me to believe that that will happen. And I think if guys want to get in the portal, it makes sense to get in earlier than later. But I imagine they'll both be in blue and gold next season.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier with opportunity. Guillermo is a great opportunity. Right now he is essentially our only big man we have. We're going to add some stuff around him, but he will probably be the focal point with how well we shot it down the stretch and showed flashes throughout the year. And with Jorge, it's like, if you want to leave, what school is going to take a guy who did not play well whenever he did play this year and is coming off of a season-ending foot injury? It's going to be a short list. You might as well stick it out at Pitt. I don't think either of them are going anywhere. And next year, we'll find out what Jorge has to offer. I know he was beat up in the preseason, so get healthy, get back to it this offseason, and hopefully start off strong in year three.
And we don't have to go through a whole analysis of every guy on the roster. So, I mean, we'll just name off the names of guys we expect to be here next year. Papa Conte obviously missed this year with an injury, hoping that he can be a piece of the puzzle at that five spot. But a 19-year-old who hasn't played any college basketball coming off a major injury, I would like to not have to bet on that.
Fair.
Do you have a counterpoint there, David? Or are you just...
No, I mean, I agree with you. I think, ideally, given our current situation, it'd be sick if he showed up next year and it was just capital G good. But for all the reasons you just named, I don't think we can bank on that.
Let's hedge our bets there.
Yeah.
Can we go ahead and say that everyone else will be back?
Zach Austin should be back. We'll have Brandon Cummings coming in, Biba Cummings. I think there's some hope that he can contribute as a freshman, but I always want to be cautious of just assuming freshmen can come in and play at an ACC level.
Right.
They struck gold twice this year with their freshman guards. See if they can do it a third time. And then Marlon Barnes redshirted last season. Not sure if there is anything we can say about him because we have not seen him play basketball. So I'm just going to assume he's going to be here. If it's just as a practice body, maybe that's what he is. Or maybe, you know, he gets in the gym this offseason and comes back and is able to shoot the ball at a high clip and contribute that way. Are we missing anyone on that list? Or is that
Zach Austin?
Yeah, I mentioned Zach, so we just assume he's going to be back. And hopefully he's on the gun in the gym making 1,000 corner threes a day as we speak. So, Pitt has a few holes to fill in the portal this offseason. Namely, let's see, a wing who can score it a bit and replace some of the production they're losing in Blake Hinson. A big, hopefully to be the starting five or to kind of split those minutes with Guillermo as Fetty did last year. And thus far, hasn't seemed like Pitt has been very active in going after any guards. I'm assuming that will change if Bub ultimately declares to stay in the draft. But if Bub comes back, I don't see any playing time for any transfer guards or being able to sell any transfer guards on the playing time situation. Unless you have a Michael Hewitt situation, then you can have a guy transfer in and quit after like 15 games. So,
man, was he fun in those 15 games.
absolutely electric every time he stepped on the floor. Squid, you got any names out there that Pitt is definitely interested in and guys that we definitely want them to grab?
So there are a lot of guys that we've seen tied with Pitt, at least loosely, as in the school that's contacted them. Whether Pitt's going to make their list or visit and whatnot, we don't know yet. The first one, it was pretty early on, was Mikeal Brown-Jones from UNC Greensboro. UNC Greensboro, pretty low level, but he fits the bill for what we need. He's a stretch four, a bigger dude than Guillermo and Jorge, more built, can probably bang around down a little bit more. But the numbers jump off the page. About 19 points a game, 7.5 rebounds a game, and he can shoot a little bit too. So you think, we're going to say the word plug in for Blake Hinson a few times here. These players are not Blake Hinson.
They can, and they never will be.
They can do similar things to Blake Hinson in some ways, shapes, or form, but it's the closest that you can find to that kind of production.
And it's not going to be one guy. I mean, I will be very shocked if Pitt is able to go get one guy in the portal to just eat up Blake's minutes and shots. Definitely not shots. Yeah, I don't know if they can find another player who's willing to put the ball up as much and from as deep as Blake was. But yeah, it's going to be a joint effort, whoever they end up grabbing the portal. But yeah, like you said, he can shoot a little bit, Brown-Jones. He's a 43% from three last year. Not much volume, only 25 for 58. But having a guy who's able to step out and knock down a open shot if they leave him out there, anytime you can add shooting, they're going to need to add shooting in replacing Blake. Brandon Johnson from East Carolina. This is another name that Pitt has been heavily involved with him from pretty early on, and I think he's the closest thing we've seen to like a plug and play for a Blake replacement. I averaged 14 a game, 8 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 36.5% from 3-point land. Not Kyle Korver numbers here, but did shoot at a pretty decent volume, 65 for 178 last year from three. Guy's 6'8", 220. Fits the bill as a wing scorer, and definitely a guy that I think we'd be happy if Pitt could bring into the program.
What about my Fetty replacements? If we can't get the big lad from Colorado, who can we get?
Eddie Lampkin. Yeah, he's going to demand a pretty penny in the portal, and I feel like he'll get overpaid. Just with the name recognition and...
Yeah, fat centers are really in right now.
Yeah, like DJ Burns is driving up the price for Eddie Lampkin with this run he's going on.
That is exactly what is happening.
But the big one, and probably the most realistic at this point, because he has an official visit set, is Brandon Huntley Hatfield from Louisville. Now, anytime I hear Louisville, I'm like, oh, that guy stinks. He played for Louisville. But this guy averaged 13 a game, 8.5 rebounds, and really had a strong stretch in ACC play. He has an official visit set up for the weekend of April 19th. He's also visiting NC State this weekend, which just speaks to the insanity of the transfer portal. A team who is currently in the Final Four is hosting transfers for official visits this weekend. But that's neither here nor there. I think he has a couple other visits set up as well. But this is a guy who, I mean, any way you shake it, if you're one-for-one replacing Fetty with Huntley Hatfield, and you instantly just improved yourself at the five spot twice over.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's big, athletic, similar to Fetty, but he was a guy that Louisville would just give the ball to, and he would take a lot of shots. Fetty was a drop-off option. You're not feeding Fetty the ball. So for that reason alone, huge. And like Dylan said, one of the very few guys who didn't suck on Louisville. So he's one of those transfer guys. Leaving a bad school because he's good, not because they all suck and are pissed off.
I know we haven't talked about any other center options, but I'm going to contradict what you said earlier, Dylan. I do think you need a guy in the portal that is going to be the big man. I don't think we can just go and get, you know, a lateral or a diagonal
Fetty move 2.0.
from Fetty that's going to split time with Guillermo. I love Guillermo. I don't think Guillermo is going to best service this team as guy splitting minutes under, like, in the post. I think you need to go out and get your big man, and I think that that Huntley Hatfield is our best option right now. I want Guillermo to be able to, you know, play on the perimeter a little bit more, but we simply can't have another center that's going to average 5 rebounds a game, because that is unthinkable. So give me this guy.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, he's 6'10", 240. He's a former 5-star.
That's how big I am.
Right. Initially committed to Tennessee, ended up at Louisville. Pretty productive there. I'd be over the moon if they land him. I think if Pitt gets a commitment from him when he's on his official visit later this month, I'll start looking into hotels for wherever the Final Four is played next year. That's how excited I will be in April about the Pitt basketball program. So, yeah, we'll see. Jeff Capel has done a really good job in the past. If he gets guys on campus, getting them to sign up, hopefully they have a pretty nice NIL check already drafted up for him, because I'm sure it's going to take a good chunk of change to get him to commit. But that's, if we're talking wish list guys, he's got to be near the top, if yeah. not number one.
Are there any other big men that we've been looking at?
Handful of names thrown out there. And this guy is not a big per se, but definitely a rebounder, definitely can defend. A local kid, Adu Thierro, the Quaker Valley product, committed to Kentucky, was super under-recruited in high school, in part due to a late growth spurt. Played point guard basically his whole high school career, was a 5'9 freshman, graduated as a 6'5 point guard. He's now grown to 6'8 and really played more of like the 3 or 4 for Kentucky this year. Averaged 7 points a game, 5 rebounds, a block a game, shot 50% from the field, 31.8% from 3. That was only 7 of 22, so not super high volume there, and shot 80% from the line. I don't know. I know that there have been confirmations that Pitt's reached out to him, and I don't know exactly what role Adu would play on next year's Pitt team, but I think he's unique enough of an athlete, of a guy who's played several positions and is potentially still growing, that you just get him on campus and then figure out where he fits from there.
My head is still spinning from Dylan saying this under-recruited kid who went to Kentucky.
Literally, people were pissed off that Capel wasn't offering him for a while, and I don't think Capel was in the wrong for not pulling the trigger on him, but then all of a sudden Kentucky did, and it's like, what?
Well, I think a lot of people know, but let me add some context here. So his dad played for Calipari at Memphis. Ultimately, dad transferred to Duquesne. They end up in Pittsburgh. Adu grows up and plays for Quaker Valley, whatever. But going into his senior year, he had 2 offers, and I might butcher exactly who they were, but I want to say it was UC Santa Barbara and LIU Brooklyn up in New York. Or LIU Long Island, whatever. Whatever. 2 low major schools. He was
very
injured.
Far apart.
He was dealing with some injuries. Yeah, literally opposite sides of the country. No one in between even offered him. Dealing with some injuries. I don't think played AAU his junior year, so no one really saw him. And then his senior year, he grows to 6'5 and literally takes Quaker Valley to the state title game. Ultimately lost to Newman Goretti, but Calipari went and watched him play and was like, yeah, that kid can play for me, and offered them. And Capel followed suit a few days later and finally pulled the trigger. But this was still in some pretty anti-Capel times for us, if I'm being honest.
I remember being pissed.
I remember being like, oh, we couldn't pull the trigger on the kid who plays in the backyard until after Calipari already offered him. Not that I think it would have made a big difference either way, but felt like a miss at the time. And now we have a second chance at a do. And he's kind of a completely different player than I think he was 2 years ago at Quaker Valley. But like I said, pretty unique athlete. I've even seen him on a couple NBA prospect rankings for next year. He's another kid who's actually pretty young for his grade. I think he just turned 20, if I'm not mistaken. So I think he's a unique athlete. And I don't know. I mean, the 80% from the free throw line intrigues me. I know he played guard his whole life. I think he's still figuring out how his body works when it comes to shooting form. But I mean, Zach Austin shot like 29.8% for three this year. So if a dude can get in the gym and can prove to be a better three-point shooter off the catch than Zach Austin was this year, it might just be a Zach Austin upgrade and bringing Austin off the bench next year. I don't know how that works out, and I don't know how much of a chance they have at a do, but he's a guy who you have some history with. It would be his hometown team. You have to kick the tires and see if he's willing to come back home.
Yeah, just play the Nelly Cummings card. Say, yeah, come home. Worked out pretty well for Nelly. But I was going to say, bear with me here. You said he would be a Zach Austin upgrade. That'd be amazing. I was going to say he'd be a most definite Will Jeffress upgrade, like a similar type of player. It's like, hey, rangy, long.
And that athletic. He'll make a shot this year, or?
He can score the basketball. He's got some skill. So it might be a thing, like you said, Dylan, there's not an exact role for him on this team because of all the ball handlers we will probably hopefully have. But maybe one game we need him for 28 minutes, and the next game he plays a dozen. And it's like an as-need basis, see how he fits in. Different combinations and matchups with other teams might work better than others. So I think he's absolutely worth an offer. If he wants to come here, you absolutely take him round two, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe. I don't know why he's leaving Kentucky for sure, but I think he did have kind of an inconsistent role there. Like you said, you want them to use him like that at Pitt. I mean, some games where he was playing 30 minutes, other games where he might only play 10. Maybe he's looking for a more consistent role. Maybe he's looking for a starting role. But whatever it is, I think Adu can come here and absolutely help them. And, you know, doesn't hurt to have another hometown kid on the roster. Convince him to come play with Biba. Him and Biba played against each other in high school. Saw a great Whipple semifinal game that Jeff Capel was actually in attendance for his senior year. So, yeah, let's bring him back home. I'm all for it.
So those are pretty much all the names that we've had on our list. Shout out to all the people on Twitter whose jobs it is to follow everyone who enters the portal and who's contacting them. That seems impossible, but George Michalowski mainly.
I was going to say, shout out to George. The portal report is just like unbelievable. He's just sending off tweets with like this Division II transfer who averaged 13 points a game has heard from the following 37 schools.
Yeah. So shout out to George. If you're not following the portal report, you're quite literally missing out on a lot of stuff. But the only other name that I've seen out there attached to Pitt, I think it just happened today. And we're mainly just going to talk about his name for like 30 seconds and call it there, because from the University of St. Louis in the A-10, Gibson Jimerson.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, averaged almost 16 points a game last year for the Billikens. He's a shooter. That's all there is to it. A high-volume shooter. Last year, actually only shot 36% from three, but I think part of that was just due to so much attention being drawn to him on a pretty bad St. Louis team. But shoots over 39%, 39.5% for his career in college. And quite frankly, if you can get a guy who can shoot the ball like this, you go get him. There's always a spot on the roster for a guy who can shoot the lights out.
So based on that stat line in the A-10, I assume he'll get a Power 5 offer and land there somewhere. Who knows? This happened today. I mainly want him just because of the off chance he goes to an ACC rival and we have to deal with a guy named Gibson Jimerson hitting threes against us.
Mm.
I want to have him so other fan bases see this guy walk out there and be like, oh, yeah.
Oh, Gibson.
Gibson Jimerson has four threes in the first half against us. Fuck this.
Yeah, that's completely valid. Just
Gibby Jim would be lights out as a Pitt Panther.
Yeah, Gibby would be his nickname for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, any other names we want to throw out? I think we're going to hear about 1,000 more before the season starts that Pitt has contacted. The portal's just the wild, wild west, but these are the early names and the early wish lists we've given.
Are we going to go this whole time without mentioning the top 10 five-star in the city of Pittsburgh who was just crystal balled to the University of Pittsburgh and very well might reclassify? Or do we not want to jinx anything?
I thought you were going to say Dior Johnson whenever you started that sentence. He is also in the transfer portal.
Oh, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, a lot of schools are absolutely going to take a flyer on him. Not even a flyer. He had unbelievable numbers last year, and somebody's going to talk themselves into, yeah, we can give him the help he needs. We have the infrastructure he needs to make a turnaround, and then he's going to be off the team before he ever dribbles a ball again.
Yeah, that's enough Dior Johnson talk.
The thing I meant,
his name never being mentioned here again. Yes, Malik Thomas is who you were referencing.
Correct.
So Malik finished up his junior year at Lincoln Park, back-to-back state titles with Biba Cummings. So I've seen the rumors thrown around. Hey, can Pitt get him to reclassify to 2024? Maybe he's the replacement for Bub if Bub goes to the NPA. I think people underestimate, like, there are steps you need to take to be able to reclassify. Your credits have to be in place. I'm not saying that Malik doesn't have those. I have no clue what that situation is, but I feel like typically, like, the basketball academies, like the IMGs and Montverdes, are better equipped to set those guys up to just, hey, your credits are good to go if you need to reclass up a year. I don't know what that situation is, but I think there's a lot that is involved with that. I don't know what the current situation is, but I will say it would be fairly convenient timing if Bub declares and says he's staying in the draft in May and Malik's like, oh, well, I can get to college a year early and that'll let me go to the NBA a year earlier. That would be pretty convenient for us. And we got a crystal ball from, I don't have the name here in front of me, but it was just enough to get it.
Andrew Barth.
Yep, that's it. So, Andrew, I don't know what you know. I don't know if you're just trying to mess with us. If you are, it's pretty messed up.
I mean, he's an analyst for the Juice Online on the Rivals Network. So I guess he's
Syracuse. But I think he's also a Pitt grad.
He is a Pitt grad. He is 33 for 34 on future casts. That is a 97.1% accuracy.
But can you change those?
I'm DMing him as soon as we're done recording. What's your deal, dude? What did you hear? If we had his phone number, I would just call him and just put him on live right now.
We could call George and make like very thinly veiled threats until he tells us everything he knows. George, tell us everything you know. Or else. I don't know.
I'm still holding out hope that Pitt can get Malik here. I don't know where they stand with him. Someone's going to pony up some NIL money, but like we said earlier, I think Pitt's in a pretty good spot NIL-wise. I think there's some donors who might be willing to pony up some more money if they're like, hey, the five-star kid from Pittsburgh, like the best prospect Western PA's had in who knows how long. If we get a couple extra $100,000, he said he'd come here. I think they might be able to figure it out. So I don't know. If I'm Malik, I'm like also looking at Kentucky and like they just put guards into the NBA every single year. That's something hard to turn down. But Pitt has a pretty good selling point with, yeah, you can literally play with your best friend that you just won back-to-back state titles with and be a hometown legend forever. So I don't think Pitt's out there. I think there's some Pitt fans who like to think that there's just no chance a five-star guard would ever come here. I lean more to the side of this is a very unique situation and a very unique point in time in college athletics. And I don't know, the stars might align for us to get him, but there's a lot that would go into it. Anything else? Anyone else? How do we feel? Usually at this point of the year, we're in football mode, and I just can't get myself to be there yet.
We can make this, we can stretch this out a little bit longer. We need someone to commit this week, whether it's a recruit or a transfer, so we can spend 20 minutes talking about that next week and delay the inevitable.
I'll say this. Pitt football desperately needs like a 48-41 spring game final score. That way for the next, how long till the football season? Like 6 months, whatever, longer. I'm not doing the math. However long that time frame is, Narduzzi can go on the road and say, yeah, our new offense. Do you remember when Nate Yarnell threw four touchdowns in the spring game? That's coming.
Yeah, I'm slightly concerned that every video I've seen from the Pitt football social media account has apparently been a pick six. Like, the defensive touchdowns are being shown at an alarming rate.
Yeah, but the passes are at least spirals that are being picked off.
It's all about spirals. Spirals is most important. Hey, don't worry. If we don't want to talk about Pitt football yet, we can kill at least one a week with the inevitable "Let's talk about Kenny" episode.
I don't know if that's much better right now.
It is our duty to have that conversation. I don't know when, but it is our duty.
A slow week in June. Coming out just guns a-blazing against the Steelers organization.
Yeah. Something like that.
All right. Well, Coach Capel, the Capel faithful, the guys who never doubted you for even a second.
Mm-hmm.
Have had faith in you this whole time. Go get it done this offseason. Bring back Bub. Go get a stud center, and let's be a top 25 preseason team next year. And this time next year, Pitt will still be playing basketball. Book it. As always, hail, Loyal Sons of Pittsburgh.
And that's going to do it here for the Loyal Sons Show. The incredibly handsome and talented Dylan, David, and Squid are signing off. Until next time, Panther fans. H2P.